Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, we'll read verses 1 through 25. Luke 8, verses 1 through 25. God's people, hear now the word of the Lord. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things, he would call out. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what the parable meant, and he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, those are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And so they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And that is the word of God. What we see in the passage here this morning is repeated in Matthew and Mark's gospel. You should know that, which ought to show us how important these passages are, as well as to or further substantiate the witness of the three Gospels themselves. And you notice that they're not exactly in the same exact words, but it communicates the exact same thing that happened, which substantiates the witness of the Gospels. And we see that Jesus was going around preaching, the first three verses. He's preaching the kingdom of God, and his disciples were with him, as well as some faithful women who were contributing to their ministry, that is, the ministry of Jesus and the disciples, so that they could continue without concern of their day-to-day provision or worldly provision. And then we're given, and so there we see a godly service of some of God's people. But then we see the two parables. The first parable has to do with the parable of the sower, which you should know or at least heard of before. The four different soils, and that is hearts, of which the seeds, that is the word, falls upon. And there are those who hear the gospel, hear the word, and then the devil comes and takes the word away from the heart, so they don't believe, and they are not saved. The word goes out secondly to those, and they hear the word and they respond to that word with joy, but their believing is not unto salvation. They believe the facts, perhaps. They've heard the gospel, they've heard that Jesus died on the cross, they believe Jesus died on the cross, but they don't trust it for their very lives. And so when temptation comes, they fall away, because the Spirit is not in their hearts. There's also those who take the word, they consider it, but when they judge it compared with the cares of the world, they like to and they choose to have the pleasures of the world, the things of the world, instead of what God offers them in eternal life. And so they would rather have those things of the world, than have a living hope. And then there are those who receive the word with faith and love. They hold to it tightly, and it produces fruit to the glory of God. And you, every single one of you, falls into one of those four camps, one of the four soils, because all of you have heard the word in some way. And so we ought to pray fervently that all of us here would be those who receive the word like on the good soil, or we receive it with faith, hope, and love. And then the second parable, in verse 16 and following, has to do with the parable of the lamp. And you're called here not to cover up the lamp. Don't cover it up. Why would you cover up a lamp? Not like a lamp shade like we might think of today, but he's talking about completely cover up the light, so it's dark. And he's saying don't cover up the lamp. Don't. That doesn't make any sense. It's worthless then. If you have a lamp and it's lit and you cover it up completely so that it's dark, the lamp is meaningless. It's worthless. The lamp is light. Why would you hide light? It's like walking through the house. Why would you want to walk through a dark, completely dark home? Because you know that you'll stumble and fall. You want light. And so, beloved, you have the lamp of the light of God that you've been blessed with. And he's applying it to what the parable that just came before it, the Word of God. You have the light. You've received the Word. You've received the gospel and the truth. You have that light. And so don't cover it up now. Let it shine so that that fruit will be produced, like verse 15 says. And so take care now also how you listen to the word, that you'll receive it. And then be this light that shines. You set it on a lampstand so that all can see it. And that should rebuke us, because often we like to hide the light. And then we see verse 20, Jesus' mother and brothers there, proving that Jesus had earthly brothers that were born after him, with Mary and Joseph, having children, and they came to see him. And he says to us here, today, who is his mother and who are his brothers? He says, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. The doing is the light that needs to shine. Who hear the word of God and do it. And then we see the famous passage that Jesus stilled the storm just with a word. He rebuked the storm. With what? The word. Because the word is that which comes from Jesus. The word that we have in the scriptures is from Jesus. He is the word of life. And he speaks. And so we see that what we have in the word, not only should we receive it, not only should we be a light, but just the character of this word is power. Great power. And so we ought to give our attention to it. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the power of your word. For your word that you spoke. You spoke the creation into existence. The whole entire universe. All the angels, everything and all creation, you spoke and it came into being. You said, let there be light, and there was light. And all the other days you said, let there be, and there was. Even when you on the sixth day created man in your own image, and there was man. Father, we're thankful that you're a God who created us. You are an all-powerful God. And thankful that you speak with power. And just as you spoke creation into existence, you spoke life into our hearts through your word by your Holy Spirit. You are a powerful God who can take those who are totally depraved, totally wicked and evil, and set them up on a lampstand in a high place that all would see not them and not us, but all would see you in your glory as you shine through us in your word. Thank you that you, in lighting us, you make us more and more righteous, more and more holy, that we would, and we pray this, that you would make this true, that you would make us to be holy and righteous, that we would be that light set on a hill, and that so all from many miles around could see us. Not to see us, though, but to see you and your Son Jesus Christ. And so even our good works, we pray that they would see them and they would glorify you as they see them. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that He is the gospel. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He is our Lord and Savior. And we ask now that you would help us in our worship, that you would heal our bodies by your word, because you're the God who heals. You would forgive our sins, because you're the God who speaks and you forgive sins. And you would cleanse us of our sin and rid us of any guilt there is in Christ and his atonement through him. Father, we pray for our governing authorities that you would save them and turn their hearts unto you, that we would be able to worship peaceably, and that you would change our nation into a nation that loves you and submits to you in all things. And thereby helping others. Being merciful and gracious to others, so that through it, As those in the church go forth and shine their light, many would hear the gospel and believe unto salvation. We pray for our children here and any else who don't know you might know the facts of the gospel. I've heard the gospel many times, but we pray that you would cause that your Spirit to enter into their hearts, change their hearts, cause them to be born again, and that you would cause them to love you and believe, trusting in their salvation in you alone. For without you there is no hope, and there is no salvation in any other but your Son Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would hear our prayers, for we pray in His name. Amen.